I'm Dave DeWitt. This is Tested from WUNC, a daily look at how North Carolina is dealing with COVID-19 and what we're learning about ourselves in the face of a global crisis. Today, learning interrupted. Our state's educational institutions have been turned upside down by the pandemic. School buildings are empty and resources are evaporating. The upheaval is being felt hardest by students, like Brooke Cox, a senior at South Point High School in Belmont, who was looking forward to Science Olympiad.
I was planning on having that this year, and now I don't get that.
We'll hear more from Brooke later in the podcast. By the numbers, the impact on schools at all levels is staggering. More than 1.5 million public school students and more than 1 million students in public, private, and community colleges, and tens of thousands of teachers, faculty members, principals, food service employees, bus drivers, all have had their professional and personal lives turned upside down. And the future is equally as uncertain, says Eric Davis, chair of the State Board of Education.
Rest assured, we will operate our schools differently in the next school year, because the safety and security of your child and your child's teacher, in our eyes, demands nothing less.
Let's start there with WUNC education reporters Liz Schlemmer and Cole Del Charco, and the many changes, like grades, that students and parents are dealing with.
What that means for K through 5 is that they're not going to give any grades at all. Teachers are still going to be able to talk with parents, you know, about their students' performance, but no grades on the report card. For 6th through 8th grades, students will be able to get a pass or withdraw. You know, the idea behind this is that middle schoolers, again, are going to be more focused on learning the material, improving as students. Without having that letter grade attached, the State Board is hopeful that students will still be able to focus on their learning, and that they won't get caught up in, you know, having all the little tiny details of remote learning completely figured out. For high schoolers in 9th through 11th grades, they're going to have an option between taking a numeric grade that they were earning on their last day of class, or they can take a pass or withdraw. The idea the State Board had behind that is that they want students who were earning a good grade and are continuing to earn a good grade with remote learning, they want that to be able to boost students' GPA. But at the same time, if students are not able to continue learning, if they're not able to earn a grade that's going to improve their GPA, they don't want just the fact of not being able to have the rest of a semester to have a negative impact on students' grades or on their GPA. You know, obviously, that's very important for getting into college. And you know, one of the things the State Board said they wanted to consider was all the extenuating circumstances that a number of students might have. Maybe you don't have Wi-Fi. Maybe you're getting, you know, paper copies of your homework delivered to you from someone on a school bus. And then, as we already know, with seniors, those who are passing as of their last day of class will pass. And those who were not able to pass as of their last day of class, they'll still have chances from their local school district to graduate on time.
Well, and sticking with high school students there, North Carolina has already been planning to not have end-of-year, end-of-class standardized testings that they normally require. But a lot of high school seniors, juniors, some sophomores, even freshmen, maybe taking AP classes. What's going on with advanced placement classes and advanced placement tests?
So normally for an AP test, you know, you show up in person, you take this very long test that you've been studying for a large amount of the school year, and they've had to merge all of those tests online. They say they've made it as secure as they can. And, you know, the hope is that students will still be able to earn credit for college courses, or at least be able to have a good assessment of how well they did in the class. And so a number of those students are continuing, you know, obviously in this time of remote learning, to prepare for those tests that are in many cases going to be significantly shorter than what they were maybe originally planning for.
So moving on to higher education, it's even a little more complicated there because they have to concern themselves with various ways that they earn money and have revenue stream. Liz, it's a wide-ranging problem for colleges and universities. Let's start with the revenues they're losing.
One comment that really stuck out in my mind recently was that the dean of the UNC Chapel Hill Business School pointed out that colleges are in the hospitality business. Mm-hmm. And we all know that the hospitality business is really struggling right now. And if you think of universities that way, that they are housing and feeding students, that they are running conferences and events and they have visitors, and kind of a mini tourism industry, all of that is being hurt right now. So the revenue losses, one of the really big ones is refunds for housing and dining to residential students. There are also losses to college endowments, right? The investments that they have to fundraising. I mean, the expectation is that gifts and contributions are going to be down as so many of their benefactors are being hurt by financial losses. There's loss in research funding and grants and research projects. And then athletics, when you consider that, you know, at many universities, one or two sports pays for their entire athletic program. If you don't have football in the fall, or as we saw, March Madness canceled this year, that's affecting the entire athletic programs.
Well, and a lot of these colleges have expenses they never expected that are due to the coronavirus changes. What are some of those?
I think the big, really obvious one is just preparing for remote learning. That's something that happened very quickly. It was very impromptu, and I think many administrators will tell you that it was imperfect, but it does cost money to make sure that students have the resources they need, the computers or the internet mm-hmm. connectivity. There's also been training for faculty to help them learn how to use new tools that maybe they've never used before. And now there's more of a focus on improving remote learning for the longer term. You know, what happens if universities cannot safely open in the fall, or if we are kind of playing whack-a-mole with the virus and, you know, there might be multiple quarantines that we have to go through. They want to really improve remote learning so that it is stronger, and it's not something that was just kind of planned overnight as it had to be in March. There's also the question of whether enrollment is going to be affected. There's a lot of speculation about this, whether some students are just not going to want to come back. It's kind of a financial decision that students and their families have to make. You know, is it worth the investment to come back to school and spend a year that's not going to potentially look like years in the past. And also international students may not be able to get visas and they may not be able to come, and they are frequently paying very high tuition. And then it's also a question of whether all students will be able to afford to continue their education.
So there are a lot of questions, obviously, in the short and medium term. What else are colleges, universities doing about their financial situation, and what financial changes are they making?
Well, we know a lot of universities are going to be receiving relief. They are going to be getting federal aid and, mm-hmm. and likely state aid. So starting with federal aid, the CARES Act creates funding for universities. We know there's about $95 million coming to North Carolina colleges and universities. Much of that's actually going to go back to students in the form of housing and dining refunds and grants to students. It's actually probably not even enough to cover all of that. And so the UNC system is also asking for a state aid package of about $45 million. And at the same time as cutting other costs, like halting construction right now, or not asking for money that they were going to ask for new initiatives. The universities who have really tallied this up, they're looking at losses in the hundreds of millions of dollars, deficits in the hundreds of millions of dollars. So there's also speculation right now about whether some colleges are even going to make it through this crisis. If you look at smaller colleges, maybe small private colleges, and those that may have been struggling financially recently are going to have the padding to make it through this.
Liz Schlemmer and Cole Del Charco are WUNC's education reporters. Hang tight, more in a minute.
Tested is a production of WUNC North Carolina Public Radio. And this is a good time to say thanks to everyone who supports WUNC. Whether you are an individual donor or a business, we cannot say thank you enough for providing us with the resources and opportunity to serve the state of North Carolina with up-to-the-minute news and information. Everyone at WUNC is working around the clock at this unique and perilous moment in our history, and we really couldn't manage without your help. So thank you. And if you're able, please head to WUNC.org if you want to donate for the first time or to perhaps increase your support.
Earlier, we heard from Brooke Cox. She's the senior at South Point High School in Belmont. She and some other seniors from across the state have been speaking with Cole Del Charco about what they're missing out on right now and how they're coping.
I'm in Science Olympiad, and that's something I've been doing since my sophomore year of high school. And so that was something that I was really looking forward to, because for the state competition, like, the whole team gets to go to Raleigh together and, like, we get a hotel. I was planning on having that this year, and now I, like, don't get that. One of, like, the funniest things that happened last year was our teacher, he rented one of those motorized scooters that they have all over campuses, and we all just, like, took turns riding it up and down one of the sidewalks during, like, lunch break. We goof off sometimes, but when it's, like, down to the competition, we're like, okay, we came all the way here, let's try and do good. All of the teams are in one auditorium together. Like, you're sitting with all your teammates, you're sitting with your coach. It's a very exciting atmosphere. And, like, if you win, like, you, like, go down, like, you get your medal and stuff, and it just feels, like, really great. Like, me and my partner, we got second in one of our events last year. They call it fourth, and they call it third. And when we didn't get third, we were like, oh my gosh, did we not place this year? Like, we did not expect that at all. We both play tennis, and so we're tennis partners too. And she's a year younger than me, so she's a junior. And so, like, we played tennis together all through August to November. Me and her were conference champions together. And then we, like, get into Science Olympiad, and we're, like, preparing for this. And so, yeah, if we had it, we totally would have won. And so for then that to get canceled, it was really upsetting for me and for her, because she knows that I'm leaving next year. And, like, we won't get to do that together again. I know she'll be fine, but she's definitely thinking, like, oh my gosh, I didn't get that last thing with Brooke. Like, how am I gonna do this next year?
Brooke Cox is a senior at South Point High School in Belmont. She plans to attend NC State University in the fall. That's it for this episode of Tested. I'm Dave DeWitt. Will Michaels is our producer. Lindsay Foster Thomas is the executive producer. Brent Wolf is WUNC's news director. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.